Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Positive Health Podcast. I am Jude Rufail.
And I'm Andrew Snyder.
Positive Health Podcast is a podcast that aims to highlight all the positive events happening around us in public health.
In today's episode, we'll be featuring Dr. Botta from the College of Public Health, and he'll be talking to us about the current COVID-19 pandemic.
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Jude. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I commend you for initiating this Positive Health Podcast. I think it is a valuable forum for discussing public health matters, and it is especially useful during this COVID-19 pandemic. It is also appropriate that you have initiated this podcast during the National Public Health Week. I wish you all the best and hope you'll continue this podcast for a long time, because positive public health should be at the forefront for everybody, everywhere, and every day. So the world is going through a public health event of unprecedented magnitude in our lifetime. But this is not an unimagined event. Those of us in the field of public health, especially epidemiologists, have been worried about and warning of such an event for a long time. Now, if you think about it, infectious disease pandemics have impacted humanity throughout our history. That is why we have been especially concerned about a new virus that is easily transmissible, is highly infectious, causes severe disease, and has a high case fatality ratio as a potential pandemic threat. The novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, the cause of COVID-19, matches the description. When you have a new virus appear in humans, no one has immunity against it. Every person in the world, all 7.5 billion people, are susceptible to it. The novel coronavirus is a new virus, thus it is called novel, and it jumped to humans from an animal reservoir, most likely bats. The virus is a respiratory virus, which means it infects the cells in our nose, throat, and lungs, and spread through respiratory droplets. When an infected person coughs, sneezes, and talks, and ejects droplets laden with virus particles. And this is an efficient mode of transmission for a virus. An infected person doesn't have to know a person to infect them. They just have to be physically within a relatively close distance or spread the virus on surfaces that are touched by others. The current evidence suggests that without any mitigation, an infected person will infect 2 or 3 other people. This is what we call basic reproduction number of a pathogen. When an infected person can spread the virus to more than one person, then epidemic occurs. The larger the basic reproduction number, the faster the epidemic grows in a population. Unless prevention measures are implemented to reduce the risk of an infected person transmitting the virus to others, the epidemic sweeps through a population. With this novel coronavirus, about 80% of the infected people are asymptomatic, that is, they don't show signs and symptoms, or have mild symptoms. About 20%, and then 20% of the people have moderate to severe enough symptoms to seek medical attention or need hospitalization, and unfortunately, some of them die. It is too early in the epidemic to come up with a definite number for case fatality ratio, but the estimates are between 1 to 4%. A case fatality ratio is percentage of cases that die, and 1 to 4% may not seem high when you compare to a disease like Ebola, which has anywhere between 60 to 90%. But it's this COVID-19 is at least 10 times higher in case fatality rate than the seasonal flu, which kills about between 10 to 50,000 people in the United States every year. And this virus is more infectious than the seasonal flu. And because this virus has the potential to infect hundreds of millions of people in the world, because nobody has immunity against it, even a 1% case fatality rate or ratio would result in millions of deaths worldwide if the pandemic spreads unchecked. Within the 3 months, this pandemic has spread throughout the world. And as we speak today, there are about 1.5 million cases and 80,000 people have died due to COVID-19 in about 184 countries. In the United States, there are about 420,000 cases as of today and has resulted in more than 14,000 deaths. China, where the epidemic first started, appears to have controlled controlled it for at least the time being. The pandemic right now is at its peak in the developed countries in Europe, as well as it is spreading throughout the United States. And this is putting tremendous stress on our healthcare and public health system. I'm also especially concerned about the toll this pandemic is going to take when it starts to sweep across the developing countries in Asia and Africa, you know, where the largest proportion of the world population lives. Public health and healthcare infrastructure in these countries are weak and ill-equipped to deal with a pandemic of this magnitude, and there is likely to be widespread death as a result of COVID-19. So in absence of a vaccine and effective treatments for the disease, public health responses are the key to mitigating this pandemic. Early in an epidemic, when we have few cases among individuals with a travel history, case identification through testing and isolation of these cases, and contact tracing and quarantining of the exposed would be the appropriate public health measures to contain the epidemic. But when the virus has spread in the community and the containment phase no longer is possible, then social or physical distancing becomes essential. And physical distancing or social distancing involves closing of schools and colleges, avoiding mass gatherings, and closing non-essential businesses, along with isolation of infected and quarantining of the exposed individuals. And this is the only way to mitigate the spread of the virus. There's also an additional tool to mitigate the spread: face covering in public. In the United States, we're a little late to adopt the universal use of masks, and it took a while for our public health professional and public health agencies to change the thinking in the use of masks in public for prevention of the virus transmission. I'm glad we have fully come around to our thinking about the use of masks in public. Ohio is ahead in terms of implementing the public health measures to mitigate the epidemic, and the results are showing in Ohio's flattening the epidemic curve. We are slowing the epidemic down, but it is going to be a long haul. The virus is going to be around, and we will likely to have localized outbreaks even after we slow down the spread enough to open things back up. We're going to have to be ready for immediate case identification through rapid testing and isolation, contact tracing and quarantining of the exposed individuals to keep these outbreaks localized. Widespread availability of testing for identifying those are currently infected, and serological tests for identifying those with a history of past infection is going to be key in our prevention effort going forward. The development of a safe, effective, and affordable vaccine for a widespread use will be will be the ultimate goal in our toolbox to control this epidemic. But that is unlikely to occur in less than 12 months. So we'll still have to apply our public health, current public health prevention measures I just discussed.
That was very valuable information to share with everyone. Do you have any particular recommendation that you would like to share with our students of the college?
Well, staying at home and being out in the public only when absolutely necessary, such as going for groceries, using a mask in public, maintaining the physical distance of at least 6 feet, washing your hands as often as possible when in public and when you get home are the key measures to minimize the risk of virus transmission. These measures are not only important to protect yourself, but also others who are at a high risk of the disease and severe outcome. Those include elderly, those who are immunocompromised, or have underlying health conditions. The virus can only move from one person to another if we help it to move. That essentially is the basic idea behind physical distancing. You are denying the virus mobility. It can only survive and continue to infect others when you let it hitch a ride with us.
Thank you, Dr. Bada, for the amazing information. And I love that you mentioned how the virus can only move if we helped it move, and the importance of physical distancing and wearing masks when possible.
On our next episode of the Positive Health Podcast, we'll have a special message from Sydney Evans, your 2020-2021 undergraduate student senator. And also, remember, if you would like to fill out the survey attached to this post, you can request a special topic or a professor that you would like to hear from.
As always, I am Jude Rafael.
And I'm Andrew Snyder.
Be kind, stay safe, and think positive. Take care.